people cannot read upside down, so Frank had to learn
to. So he had to learn it upside down so because they couldn't. Right. Too nice. Thank you. On behalf of me and all the other people who can't read upside down.
We're going, right? Yeah. I am the only one who has the communication board upside down. All the disabled people that we're aware of that have communication devices, they're all facing the person that's disabled.
Yeah.
So they have problems communicating with people. And they think it is because they're a crip that people don't communicate with them well.
Oh, no.
And Frank is saying it's because they don't make it easy.
Yeah, because our brains don't work that well. Especially, I'm like a little dyslexic anyway, upside down and backwards and confused. So, like, could you ever play Boggle? You ever play that game called Boggle where the letters all come upside down and sideways? And it boggles my mind to try to do it upside down. So, good for you that you can do it upside down. Yeah. My baby Frank, he does it upside down.
Always A R O around, always around, not only upside down but always
around.
And around.
Oh, okay.
Are you we've been going. You are a T H R O throw back to what when M musicians T R A traveled F from town to town M O most B A most bands G O go on tours. U L I live on the road.
Sometimes I was, and now I live pretty much between Tucson and San Francisco, Alameda. But my RV broke down this summer, so that kind of left me stuck in Tucson. But as soon as I get a big bunch of money, then I'll be going around again and staying on the road more.
B R B T by the way F I F O L folk by the way folks this is A Amber Gaia. Will you S I sing for us now?
Sure thing.
song off my CD. See your face. What am I feeling? My head is reeling. Tell me you'll stay and never go away. Will you be my forever? And it can be. The passion so strong. Is this our fate? Are you my soulmate? You had my heart right from the start. Your eyes of gold. To touch your lips on my fingertips. Just hold me tight. It feels so right. It can be wrong. Your passion's so strong. Is this our fate? Are you my soulmate? Soulmate. Ooh, yeah. And let's come together. I won't be forever. My life has changed. It'll never be the same. I want to say. Hey, you know I wanna cry. Give this love a try. Please don't let it die. It can't be wrong. The passion's so strong. Is this our fate? Are you my soulmate? Soulmate. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it can be wrong. The passion's so strong. This is our fate. Are you my soulmate?
G, go ahead.
O. D.
God. D. A. Goddamn. The. C. L. A. I. Claremont. Is. A. Hip joint to have you perform there after hearing you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's fun over there. The folks are great fun. They make life worthwhile. Do I have to talk into this thing or do you just hear me?
Does she need to talk into the mic, Mikey?
It's good. That,
it's good if you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to it before.
Yeah. We can we get G R great A, C, get great acts from the Claremont. Right.
It's like the how you say Poconos. You know the old what was that back in the day? You know the Catskills and
yeah,
all the
yeah.
What they call it? It was
not the circuit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The Claremont's the start of a lot of great acts, right?
We B H A had A B L a blues what was his name?
Lindell
Reeves. That we also met through the Erica booking him at the Claremont.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool beans. Claremont's a great place. I had the best time there. I have fun at all the care homes because you know, I'm a big hit on the old folks circuit. The care home circuit's like my deal. Because you know why? Because I used to teach little kid music. Mm-hmm. I used to do kinder music and a program I made called Movement and Music. Mm-hmm. And working with kids is kind of the same as working with old folks. Anybody who's off the money, mm-hmm. how you say, what's that thing, rat cage thing. What's the word?
Rat race.
Yeah, the rat cage, whatever thing. Yeah, then they get to go to Heart Space, and once they go there, you know, then I can reach them, and I love them. I mean, I love everybody, but they're easier to love.
Oh, you, our, S, O, our son, G, O, got, see, creamed when he did a Claremont gig. He's just starting up an acupuncture practice in Berkeley, and so we arranged for him to do a presentation at the Claremont to kind of stir up business. So him and his partner went. They just, I mean, the residents just walked all over them, you know. They were just mouthing off and giving them a hard time.
Oh, no. Not a good audience for the acupuncture folks.
We, his partner was so traumatized by it that he took a public speaking class.
Wow. Excellent.
And he hasn't done anything.
And he hasn't done anything since. Any public speaking since. Koala, our son, was kind of just thought it was funny, you know. Boy, they really cleaned up with me. S I S O. So Frank did a gig there after that, because Frank is running for president. You may have seen that on the website. I don't know, but he is. And Erica arranged for Frank to give a campaign speech there. So, you know, it was a packed house, but Koala and his partner showed up with some of their friends to see how Frank handled the crowd, And of course, Frank handled the crowd very well, but at the beginning, he kind of talked about how the residents had creamed Koala and Sean, and he had Koala stand up and so everybody could see who he was and everything.
It's a tough crowd over at Claremont. I didn't know it. I guess it was a lucky day for me then.
You. They. They are. No, they. T. E. L. L. They tell you what they think. They tell you what they think of you. O. V. Over and over again.
Well, I guess they were a fairly easy audience for me, so I must have had a lucky day. They were singing along, and some people were dancing. So that was great fun.
S. I. Sing some more.
Oh, okay. Like original songs or covers?
what, whatever you want.
Okay. Here's another song from my CD called Mixed Messages. And this song is a song I wrote for my son when he was about 13. Because all of a sudden, I don't know if you had this with your son, but my son turned 13, and aliens descended from above, and they took away my sweet son, and they put something else in my house for a while. And this is my message to the boy. Are you saying something, Frank, or are you just...
got straight. That's what happened to our son. He got real straight around that time.
Oh my God.
Which was scary for us.
My God, crookedy. So this song is for Stephen. It's called Keep On Walking. The butterfly follows the cycle from caterpillar to chrysalis, emerging at last in beauty, building strength to live and fly free. Your soul is being revealed, allowing your true self to shine through, finding all the answers you need, building strength to live and fly free. Walk tall now, feel your strength, know when to bow, when to keep pace, keep on walking, keep on walking, keep on walking toward the light of day, then you'll find your way. Stronger than you know, and you will fly free. Follow the path that is strong and true. Give love and keep plenty for you. Fly free. Walk tall now, feel your strength, know when to bow, when to keep pace, keep on walking, keep on walking, keep on walking. Thank you.
I will do a G R I grill I interview after your music set. Frank's going to let you play music now, and then afterwards he'll do a grilling interview.
Oh, okay. Okay. More music?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was going to be more talking.
Well, he's saying he'll talk to you after you do the music.
I want to sing my favorite song. Maybe you want to sing with me. Love is but a song we sing. Fears the way we die. You can make the mountains ring or make the angels cry. No, the bird is on a wing and you may not know why. Smile on your brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now. Now some may come and some may go. We will surely pass. When the one who left us here returns for us at last. Moments of light fading in the grass. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Now if you hear the song we sing, you will understand. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. And just one key unlocks them both, and it's there at your command. Now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Come on, people, now, smile on your brother, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Let's love one another right now. Isn't that a great old song? I love that song.
On, in, my, L, I, live, L-I-V, life, in my life, I have H, A, I've had A, S N A C a knack to of being at C concerts when nobody else came to the concerts. And the Youngbloods, or was one of those examples where he saw the Youngbloods and there wasn't anybody else there? Was,
oh, no. How could anybody not go?
At the C-O-L, at the college. G, at the college gym.
Were they just starting out then, or?
In 70, in 1970.
Oh, wow, so they were past their...
Yeah.
They were like, oh, Youngbloods, whatever.
Yeah.
Too bad. Oh, they were really good. Well, I have the great fortune of playing a lot when nobody's there.
one or two, you know, you play a coffee house and one or two people are there, and you know, sometimes you just have to do what you have to do.
Yes.
I always say the more the merrier, but
M O most of the performances we have done in our lives have been to very small audiences, you know, a couple people, five people. That's most of the stuff. And we've done a lot of performances, and that's mainly what it is. It, A, D, it adds up, though. You do it a bunch of years, and it adds up.
Yeah, then you add up all the people you pissed off.
Yeah, all the people you pissed off.
Used to be quite a group of folks, after all.
I, Q, W, R wrote wrote a piece, what is it called?
The Numbers Game.
He wrote a piece called The Numbers Game, where he trips on that, you know, like, I'm not going for big numbers, but let's think about this. And he starts adding up all the numbers if you count like 30 plus years of doing stuff.
Right.
And it ends up being a lot of numbers. M I L millions.
Excellent. Well, I haven't gotten there yet, so I'll aspire to have a new goal.
S. Sing. Sing, please.
Oh, sing.
Sing, sing? No, we aren't there. I'm gonna be real brave and sing a song I have not recorded yet, and that I wrote a long time ago.
There's a lady in my life, lady I love to hold.
Bye.
may be so bold. You're the lady in my life, the woman I'm always wanting. And I prefer to be thrilled in your arms and dazzled with all your charm. Come to me and stay a lifetime as the lady in my life, the lady I love to hold. Now you're the lady in my life, I may be so bold.
B. S. I. S. U. R. Be sure to give us a copy of a copy when your CD before you leave.
Okay, sure.
Sure thing. That's not gonna look good. Keep bonking it on the guitar. I don't know if that picks up on the... Oh, you wanna hold it? This is a cool piece. Piece of jade.
It's I got it in Honolulu. It's Chinese.
Ah?
So?
Yes. Yes.
More?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot more.
All right. Thank you. That's awful nice. Thank you. So I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me.
Don't S U C suck. You don't suck. So he wants you to do a lot more.
Oh, I think I'll take that as a compliment.
What is that from anyway? I've heard that expression before.
You don't suck?
Yeah. It doesn't suck.
Guess we can say that on internet radio. This isn't like the how you say, was it George Carlin, the seven?
We can say the seven words.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's a title cut from the CD called Mixed Messages. Totem.
One minute you got me up,
and the next I'm down.
Why must it always be
mixed messages to me?
Your eyes show such love,
then you fly away like a dove.
What you feel
in your heart, you know it's real.
I listen so carefully
and
and I understand your fear. I wait so patiently for your confusion to clear. Why must it always be mixed messages to me? Why must it always be mixed messages to me? Someone else holding them so near. I hear your words to me, mixed messages in my ears. Now you pull me back just enough to make me smile. Then you're off, another quick start, but always taking my heart. Why must it always be mixed messages to me? Why, oh, why must it always be mixed messages to me? Old habits are hard to break. I don't know how much more I can take. Why do you want someone else, leaving my heart upon your shelf? Why must it always be mixed messages? Mixed messages to me. Why must it always be mixed messages to me?
I have, I need a C L O claw. Wait, we took your claw. Yeah. S P, so we will have time for the interview.
Right. Oh, details, details.
Put it can you see it? M, more songs.
More songs. Okay. I have more songs. I'm gonna do another one that's not on my CD. It's gonna be on the next one. It doesn't have chords, it just has drumming.
I see the sun shining all around you. I feel the warmth in your voice. And I know that joy has finally found you. I know that you made the choice. You learn to go inside whisper of the real you. Brought yourself to the light, revealed to you so true. And I see the sun shining all around.
shores. I see the sun shining all around you. I feel the warmth in your voice. And I know that joy has finally found you. I know that you made the choice.
To think of a title for the next CD so I can start saying, on my next CD, which is blah blah blah. Oh, I'm gonna play this song. I don't do this one very often.
It's the last song I wrote ever. I mean, the last one I ever finished so far. It's called Waiting on the Rain. What?
Ow. Long ago, did you write this song?
That's a good question. I started it, God, 95 or 6. 95, probably. Took me 7 years to finish it. Whatever 95 plus 7 is.
2002.
Yeah. Took that. Maybe it was 96 to 2003. I don't remember. Yeah, about 3 or 4 years ago. It's called Waiting on the Rain.
So cruel when it leaves you in a pool of despair, but I don't care, just leave me there. Cause I'm waiting on the rain to wash away the pain. I'm waiting. Forget about the strife. Make it all right for now. I really do care, but just leave me there. Cause I'm waiting on the rain to wash away the pain. Have a chance, find a new romance, and yes, I really do care, and I'm no longer there. Cause I waited on the rain, it washed away the pain.
Yeah. Have you S T-O stopped writing or just have not F-I-N finished anything since then.
I did stop writing for a while. I don't tend to write when I'm sad. I tend to write after I figure everything out. And I've only recently been figuring more things out. So I started writing again in the last year. And I haven't finished anything yet. There's some stuff going on. There's some stuff I started 10, 12 years ago. Like one song called We've Got the Power. Something about which key do you hold. You know, that is kind of an anthem sort of song. It's something about... We've got the power to be here now. And then, like, when I was waiting for you to get here, I started this... I wrote this song a long time ago, the words, but never the music. Keep your laws off my body. You can't touch me there. Sorry, I can't decide who will touch me when and where. So I got the kind of framework for that. Now, just standing here when I was doing the warm-up, because I was all nervous and everything, and then I kind of just did it. So that song should be finished pretty soon. Like I said, I got the words a long time ago, but no music for it. Sometimes the words come, and sometimes the music comes first. And then, you know, and then sometimes, like that Waiting on the Rain song, I was working on it for 7 years, and I had the successful lyric writing book, and I had the how to write a song book, and I did all the exercises, and I'd sit and try to write that song, and it wouldn't write. And then one day I was at work, and this guy from Russia, who used to work in the TV station over there, I worked at this production company in San Diego, and we were having a discussion about philosophy and life and blah, 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 and he and my friend Travis and I. And he leaned over and he looked out the window and he said, "Well, I'd like to wash my car, but I'm waiting on the rain." And I said, "Waiting on the rain, what a great line." So I went home that night and woke up the next morning, came back to work, and in the space that it took to smoke one cigarette, I wrote all the words of it. I had the tune and the framework, but I didn't have the lyrics, you know, and it just finished within, you know, 10 minutes time. It was like, so you never know when the muse is going to visit or how. Yeah.
Three or four more, three or more songs before the interview.
Okay. This is very shy. I don't know. This is funny. Okay.
Why? Why?
You know, I just get shy. And then I can't think of anything to do. And I know a lot of songs.
But do you... But do you have this... problem often?
Oh yeah, all the time. In one of my original visions of visualization things, whatever, when I first started performing, I had this visualization thing that happened where I'm also a filmmaker, video maker, and I had a concave screen behind me of all my video, and I'm also still photography shots, like a slideshow type of thing. And it was all lit up there, and I was sitting in this little egg-shaped chair, which at the time I didn't know they actually have egg-shaped chairs for the audiologists, if you've ever seen those. I, at the time, didn't know about it, but here I was in this little egg-shaped chair, and all the audience was in egg-shaped chairs, and I was in the dark sitting over there singing with my video. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, if I didn't have to be in the spotlight and I could still do what I do, yeah, I'm really, that would be cool.
What? Turn the spotlight off? Would that help if we turned the spotlight off?
Yeah, turn off all the lights and I'll sing in the dark.
We could do that.
Oh, here's a cool song. Some people love this song. I didn't particularly love it, but I get a lot of good compliments off of it, so I'll sing it. It's called Weaver. When I lived in Honolulu, I was, part of a spiritual group, and my nickname was Weaver. And so I started writing this song. Started out being about me, but then, of course, it wound up being about my girlfriend, because everything always winds up being about my girlfriends. You know about love.
Weaver of magic. when the bloom was fresh. You seem to want me like I wanted you. Each and every moment was special, and we longed for each other's company. But I guess it had something to do with newness. And that sweet change of discovery. Now the changes have to do with distance, 'cause your world is no longer mine. They say the change is the only constant, and nothing ever remains the same. I had hoped that we would change together, grow closer, not further apart. But I guess it had something to do with newness. And that sweet, sweet change of discovery. Now the changes have to do with distance, 'cause your world is no longer mine. So now I escape into the music, seek to find my solace in a song. I'm trying to let you go now. The couple that we were is no longer. And I guess it had something to do with newness. That sweet change of discovery. Now the changes have to do with distance, 'cause your world is no longer mine. And your world is no longer mine.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. One more.
Is that why you always are tea traveling?
I am that good.
Yes, no. I travel because I must. I sing because I must. But yeah.
Why must you?
Because it's in me. It's in me to do. I have to. I have to sing. I have to play music.
But you could do that in one place. do the music in one place?
Yeah, you're good, Frank. You're good. This is good. Actually, I just met somebody, and I'm thinking either she's going to have to go with me, or I'm going to have to stay more in one place. And I think I might be able to do that now. I don't know, but I have to travel. But I don't have to travel all the time.
You? N? Need? No. U N? No. Or? No. N? E? New? N? E? S? Newness?
Yes, more of that newness stuff.
P. We. Will. Talk. We will talk.
Can we talk? Who is it? Joan Rivers?
Yes. And one more song? One more song.
Only one more. All right, let's see.
No, wait a minute. Two more songs.
Two more? Okay, two I can do. All right, this song, I want to dedicate this to Barbara.
More than life, more than earth, born to be the light that we are. You are the light I want to learn to be light with. More than wealth, more than fame, there is a light in everybody's name. And you are the light I want to learn to be light with. 'Cause you're the one, I'm the one, I'm the one. We're all one under the sun. We're all one. 'Cause you're the one, you're the one. We've just begun, just begun. We're all one under the sun. We're all one. Sun, we're all one. I wanna learn to be one. I wanna be one with everyone. And you're the one I wanna learn to be one with. 'Cause you're the one, I'm the one, I'm the one. We're all one under the sun. We're all one. 'Cause you're the one, you're the one. We've just begun, just begun. We're all one under the sun. We're all
one more.
Okay.
It's about all I have left in me, too.
At least one more.
All right. Who's having fun? Yeah. I'm having a great time. I appreciate you having me here tonight. This song is called Every Step You Take. And when I lived in Honolulu, I used to end every, up until that time, I used to end every set with, every gig with Amazing Grace. Which isn't always appropriate because not everybody can relate to that sort of thing. So I was sort of asking Spirit for some kind of closing song. And right after the Hurricane Iniki happened down in Honolulu, my girlfriend at the time ordered papers. She was a psychiatrist, so she got papers from the Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Clinic in Pittsburgh. And some sets were for the lay people, and some sets were for the professional people going to Kauai to help folks that had suffered, through the hurricane. And I couldn't go because I was not well at the time and was recovering, but I could be the person that would photocopy those packets and take them around to all the people in Honolulu, and just barely, too. I was kind of walking along, and it was like, I got to be that behind-the-scenes person, and while I was doing that, every step I took was quite the challenge for me, and I was sending all my love to the hurricane folks. And the song came just like walking around, just like literally every step I took. So it was like direct, not even like have to work on the words or rewrite it or anything. It just came like this.
Go in love, live in peace, travel with joy every step you take.
Yeah.
you.
Thank you.
Time for an interview. All right. See, Mike, you tell us where to go.
To our usual set.
Okay. I'll leave the camera right here, right?
Yeah.
And try to hold him over there. You ready to go?
Ah, is it?
Shoot.
I mean. Piece. This is one of those time for a commercial break.
This commercial break brought to you by
famous transition.
Want.
I'll be your queen, your loudmouth Marie.
Yes.
Your Mary Magdalene, to please you.
That's right.
So how long have you been doing this show on this
Is it like ninth year?
Wow.
That's ninth year total or ninth year on Lover?
Ninth year on Lover.
And then we did it almost a year before Lover on another radio station.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Excellent. Did you start out like at KPFA or some kind of...
It was an internet station.
Oh, okay.
They had... W, E, wet dreams of, well, the people that ran the station we started this on was an internet station, and Frank always said they had wet dreams of making enough money at this internet station that they could quit their day jobs and have secretaries and stuff. And he kept telling them that ain't going to happen. Just enjoy it. Just do it and have a good time.
Do it because you love it.
Yeah, and they really didn't care for that advice. They got pretty mad.
Okay.
So that's what eventually led us to starting our own station.
Just get your own going. Oh, okay.
I and they G got...
they got conned sometime after we left, somebody promising them big numbers of audience if they just pay this money, which they did, and of course nothing happened. Yeah. And they folded.
Oh, that's sad. I'm sorry about that.
Where do you be? Oh, where do you vote? What state do you vote in?
California.
So Frank is running for president.
In California? President of California? Are we seceding again?
Would you be an elector? Franklin is running as a writing candidate in all the states. And so each state has their own set of conditions or what you have to do to be have your vote counted. Mm-hmm. And in California, you need to have 55 electors. And to be an elector, you basically sign a piece of paper saying that you are the elector for this candidate and have it notarized. And then you are the elector.
I don't know. I'd have to look into it and...
You, it, my, we are we're having an elector potluck and barbecue so that people don't have to deal with getting a notary and doing all that. Our son's father-in-law is a notary and notary public, and he's moving up to this area from Los Angeles next month or this month. So we're going to arrange to, he's already said okay. So we're picking a date, and we're having anybody locally who wants to be an elector come over for a potluck and a barbecue, and we can all sign the form together, and then he stamps it.
Excellent. Well, I'll have to read your platform and discover all.
Just happen to have one here.
But that you can there have. You have it. Okay. Excellent.
And a button.
Awesome. Thank you. Too cool. Oh, you even have a website, frankmoreforpresident08.com. Sane and humane. I like that. Cool. Excellent. Thank you.
You were a C A S T casting C no casting F D O D O a casting. Is this like a job? One of your past jobs had something to do with casting. Do you know what he's talking about?
When How do you know that?
Because he read your website.
Did I have consultants for talent payment on there? I don't think I ever listed that. One of the jobs I had when I was paying talent for commercials was in New York was to be a casting assistant and do the, help with casting for TV commercials. Yeah. I didn't remember putting it on there, but I haven't read it for a while, so.
Yes.
Phew, I'm going to go check it out. And then, whoops.
N. O. Now. U. T. R. T. E. Now you don't know what I No, now you don't.
I know. I know. I sit here, scanning. Okay, what did I say on that? I wrote that thing a long time ago, and I don't tend to go to my own website. I don't know about you. Do you go to your own website?
Yes, he does.
Do you? Do you go read your own stuff? Okay.
I, and I, G-O-O. Google.
You Google yourself. Now, I do that because apparently, you know, you got to make sure you're in first place with the search engines or some stuff like that. So I go Googling my own name a lot just to make sure I'm still number one.
I always find. Yeah, that's it. We find stuff that we didn't know about, mm-hmm. like people writing about Frank or mm-hmm. some publication.
Oh, because it'll come up on the
if
Google
you Google
search.
It, and we found yeah. things that were like 10 years mm-hmm. old that we never knew were came out or were published, things uh-huh. like that. So that's okay. always fun.
Yeah.
N or Q U O. Quotes. Mm. Oh, people. Oh, mm. right. That's right. We mm. would find things. Like the one thing I remember mm. off the top of my head was in the early 90s, just when Senator Jesse Helms was having these performance artists investigated. He was the senator
yeah.
from
oh,
North
yeah.
Carolina.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
the beginning
him.
Of the culture wars.
Oh, yeah.
So Frank was one of the artists that was investigated.
Censored and...
He had the General Accounting Office mm-hmm. investigate these like five or six artists, mm-hmm. and Frank was one of them. Mm-hmm. And so Frank wrote this piece, an open letter to Jesse Helms that we faxed to Jesse Helms, mm-hmm. but we also sent around to a lot of places, so it got published a lot. And so now we found that there was like an anniversary of that, mm-hmm. and people quoted mm-hmm. Frank a lot, you
oh,
know,
wow.
to talk about that period.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Mm. So new things keep coming up, even in reference mm. to old things that
yeah,
were written.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, historically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Was that part of that time when they were, like, the National Endowments for the Arts, mm. the there was all the funding and
yes.
everything was being investigated. Yeah,
yes.
I remember that.
I... Jay just got, Frank got an NEA grant one time. This was before all of that happened. Like $5,000, 5 years before all of that happened.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Our experience of that, yeah. Well, we for the all the years that led up to that, we never had any money, and so we did the art with no money, and that was just fine with us. And then somebody, there was a point where we discovered what we were doing was called performance art, which we hadn't known, but we'd been doing it for like you know over 10 years. And so one of the artists we met during that period when we discovered that was saying, Frank, you should apply for an NEA. You're going to get something. I'm
yeah.
telling you, it's nothing. You get money. You don't have to. You get money for what you've done. So it's
right.
not like you're like obligated to do anything in particular.
Right.
So we had to kind of create a resume, and we did like this whole thing. Sure enough, boom, $5,000
wow.
for a year.
Excellent.
And but we realized like toward, so all of a sudden we had money. Frank was paying actresses, all these like ideas that he would have he could now do.
Mm-hmm.
Pay an actress to
right.
do whatever he
Excellent.
Thought of doing. Whatever. But toward the end of the year, we started thinking, oh, my God, we're running. Like, $5,000 was so much money to us
yeah.
that, like, we could easily, you know, have a year more on that $5,000. But the year's running out. Oh, no, we need more money. We have to write another grant or something. And then we thought, what are we talking about? This is crazy. So that was kind of the beginning and the end of our grant thing because
mm-hmm.
we didn't care for, like, the state of mind you got into about it.
Mm. That poverty consciousness will get you, huh?
But no, but five. Then 5 years later, the investigation happened, and we were really, I think, the only, Frank was the only artist that wasn't connected directly or indirectly anymore to money from the NEA. A. Annie. That was in terms of like places she was booked, I think. But yeah, so that's what I was thinking, like the indirectly part. Like Annie Sprinkle was one of the other artists, and she didn't get any NEA money either. Some of the other artists, they got NEA money or they depended on being booked in spaces that got funding.
Oh, okay.
And so those spaces couldn't book them anymore if they wanted to protect their funding. So
yes, yeah, kind of like, what's it, Mr. McCarthy back in back in the day.
Yeah.
Gotta love those, how you say?
Blinders?
Those close-minded folks that... Yeah, it was something about glass houses and throwing stones, but yeah.
Your D C F I first 4 B A, your first band was T A T W 2 T W I S
Twister Sisters.
Twister Sisters.
Yeah, and this is way before Twisted Sisters. My sister and I.
In they are I ripped your name off.
Yeah, I guess so. We were the Twister Sisters because we did the lip sync to the little record player record. Come on, baby. Let's do the twist. Anyway, so it was me and my little sister and my girl cousin Tammy. It was me, Connie, Tammy. And then we had some wigs from Aunt Verna that she'd given to us. So we put my brother Charlie and my cousin Terry in these girl wigs. So we were the Twister Sisters. And I had a little play guitar and they had little things, shakers. We had, you know, our performance in the basement. We were a hit in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And one of I think my niece Tammy, I think she's got photos from that. I don't have any. I'm going to get them. I have to call her and get photos and put it up on the website. Amber's first band. No, it was funny. You really did read my website. Did I put that in there? I probably did.
Yes.
My claim to fame, Twister Sis.
Or I am
the psychic.
Very psychic.
Yeah. That's possible too.
Yes. It is. C A. It is called the S. It is called the Shaman's Den.
Ah, that's right. I forgot about that. See, I read that and I knew that and I forgot it. I got all nervous.
That is what you were T A talking about the H E A R of the heart place, the heart space, heart place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you make that thing yourself? Or did you have it made?
No. I think it's the. We had it made. Yeah, we had it made.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's nice. It's good, strong leather.
Yeah.
It's well constructed.
Yeah.
That's good. I love that. And just put a little tiny, how you say,
laser.
In there. A little laser. And then it points right at it. Did you create this board?
Yes, Frank created the board. And then Mikey and Lexi actually physically constructed it.
Right. But why did you put the letters in the order that you did? Is there a reason?
It's a type, same as a typewriter key, only upside down. So it's, you know, you could type.
It's backwards. Oh, Oh, okay. All right. I was like, I couldn't figure the order of it. It wasn't making any sense to me. So there we go. Oh, it's in the same. Oh, okay, that's how you do it. It's in the right place for you, but it's right. I was like, okay, now that makes sense. How you could figure out how to read it upside down. I couldn't figure out the rhyme or reason. Thank you very much. Because, you know, I would not have been able to sleep tonight if I didn't know the answer to what the order of the letters was. That's really cool. I love it how you figured out how to communicate. Because, you know, that's like the essence of being human. And I appreciate that you figured all that out.
What, when, I was in 1617. Frank had the idea for that pointer, the precursor to that, when he was 17. Yeah, and then he had to find somebody who would actually make it for him to try out.
Yeah. So then you would actually point, touch the letter, because you didn't have the...
Oh, before you had the pointer? Yeah. Is that what you did? You used your... No, you didn't have any letter board at all.
So how did you communicate?
Is that what you mean? Did you have a letter board that you used your hand with? No. I did... have a pointer? No, I did have a L letter board. The other person pointed to it. The person that he was communicating to.
Oh, so then you had to guess with yes and no.
They would point to it, yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Now, I've heard there's something that they've got, some kind of electronic thing now that can activate, you know, through like some kind of electrodes or something. Heard of that?
That's like based on like if he thinks about it or something like that. I have, I don't, T-R, trust. Is it trust? Yeah. H-I, high tech. Specifically for your communication. Is that what you mean, specifically when it comes to your communication device?
Well, that's true, because what happens if it goes down, and then how would you communicate?
Like, well, he had a, this was years ago when they first started showing up, and the people in like a government organization thought that Frank should have a computerized communication board. This was like old fashioned. And he said, can I just try it out first before, because it's like $5,000 they were going to buy it for him. Can I just try it out? No, we have to just get it. You can't try it out, but it's perfect for you. So it was like a keyboard. So we had to type in the key, and then it had a verbal thing, a voice, and it also had a screen where the letters would light up. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is that, like, you can see when he's pointing here, he'll point like one or two letters, and then I'll guess what he's saying. Mm-hmm. And that's what generally happens to whoever's reading the board with him. You know, after you do it for a little bit, you start guessing what he's saying. Well, with this other thing, people would just stand there and make him type every single letter to every single word. And they would wait for the voice to say it or the printout to say it. So he had to work like 10 times harder. And he said he was getting upstaged by the technology. People were more kind of fascinated with the technology than they were with what he was saying. Mm-hmm. It lacked the intimacy of this. Mm-hmm. And so he stopped using it pretty quickly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I didn't think of that. Yeah. What is it? Marshall McLuhan and Quentin Fiore said, the medium is the message.
Yes. Why? How? Did you get into F.I. film?
I was working at Compton Advertising, which subsequently became Saatchi Saatchi Compton, and then Saatchi Saatchi DFS, and now it's something else. I can't remember the name of it. Some ad agency. But I was studying. I was working there doing talent payment for TV commercials, and
is in New York.
Yes, in New York City. And anyway, I was working there, and if you took classes that related to the advertising business, you pay for the class, and then they reimburse you 75% if you get an A, or 50 if you get a B, you know, whatever. I don't know what it was. I just got A's. So I just made sure I got my, so I got 75% reimbursement, then take the next class. And I wanted to be making TV commercials, you know, for money during the day, and then be able to do humanitarian and, you know, save the world films in the evening and documentaries and all kind of stuff. And really what got me all to that was my ex-husband, Jim Freund, in New York, worked at WBAI Radio. And I used to help run the news and run the board. And we worked with a group called Family Electric Theater. It was comedy, kind of like Fire Sign Theater, a little off the wall. Made radio dramas. And Jim produced science fiction. He has the longest running show on BAI, Hour of the Wolf. So he did interviews with like everyone from Isaac Asimov to Earthquake, Kayla Gwynn to Philip Dick to, you know, you name it. Anyway, so I was in and around that, but I didn't like radio as much as I wanted to make. I wanted the pictures too. I wanted the thing. So the thing that really got me into film was the, yeah, it was fun to make radio dramas. It was fun to edit audio, but I wanted the pictures too. So, yeah. Was that a long answer to a short question?
What kind of P.I. pictures?
I haven't worked. I've only done a few things here and there. I went to film school. You know, did all the stuff that we did at continuing ed school at NYU. Then when I went to Alaska, when I was in New York, I worked on some TV commercial someone was doing and a music video. It was great fun. Then in Alaska, I'd say my greatest claim to fame, which I don't think my name's even on the film, but my greatest thing that I did was a film called Global Report on High Seas Drift Net Fishing. This and other glamorous jobs can be yours if you order now. No, I was the first edit on that film, and it was all the worst films of sea turtles and whales and everybody caught in long line fish drift net lines, and I cried for 2 weeks. I had to find the worst shots to put into that film so people could see what's really going on. Cry. I don't think I even got credit on that film, but they did show it to the Congress, and it was what got that initial law enacted back in 89, 90, whenever that was. I think it was 89. And, of course, they're still fighting it. I mean, how do you police such a thing? But, yeah, so that was my big claim to fame. I also worked on a film in Alaska called The Box of Daylight. I mean, it was how the raven, the Tlingit legend of how the raven put the sun, the moon, and the stars into the sky. And it was great film to work on. I love that. Then I moved to Seattle to try to be getting jobs in film, and I couldn't get any jobs there. And I went back to Alaska, went to my second vision quest, and after that is when I started singing. And then it was like film, music, sculpting, my son, you know, all the work, everything I was doing. And it was like, music. So I kind of, I did some filmmaking in Hawaii for the Spiritual World Network on some cable, Olelo TV down there. And I keep thinking I'm going to do films again. But the music is kind of, how you say, time-consuming, challenging.
And F I film is not A S as D I direct.
True. Yeah, communication wise, when the audience is there, even though I'm terribly shy and I close my eyes a lot because that, but yeah, at least there is that energetic interaction. And film, yeah, film's a longer process, more tedious. I like filming. I like shooting. I shoot still film. I shoot still photography because I like to do that. But it has, you know, the immediacy of performance, yeah. I'm sure you've experienced that with performance art as well.
I and F I film and for you also.
Oh, you've done film.
Film too.
Oh, okay.
So yeah.
This is a test. I didn't read everything carefully.
I like H O O shooting.
You like shooting too.
The film.
Yeah.
But then you have to edit it.
Edit the damn thing. Yes, I know. That's the problem I have. Lighting, shooting, directing, pulling it all together. Oh, yes, great. And then sitting and looking at it and looking. Oh, back in the old days, did you do it in the old days with the film where you had to, like, hang it in the big dry? Oh, okay. But even so, on digital, it's still.
They in S Santa Fe, I took a film, Frank took a film class.
Oh, nice, nice. With film where you had to,
yes.
and the acetone and then hang it and then,
yes.
Oh, yeah.
16 millimeter film.
Okay. Yeah, I worked on with 16 as well. Yeah, those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. So then they came out with video, right? And so I'm working in the TV station in Alaska and I learned how to do the, it was actually easier because by the time you did your A-B rolls and hung up all that stuff and spliced it all together, you know, it was like a big process. Then all of a sudden they've got digital, they've got video and it's like little turny wheels and do-do-do-do-do and you line it up and not. It was like amazing. What I haven't figured out is how to edit digitally. Apparently it's an easier process even yet and my brain hasn't figured out how to do it.
W-E, well, at if you can F I find A P R O program that works. If you can find a program that works. Can we have a program that works? We had a program that works. L it D did D-I it died. Well, we got Frank a whole computer set up so that he could edit a movie we had made like 10, 15 years before. And when we made the movie on video, it was kind of like you pay somebody to use video time and it just seemed like way beyond our means. And so we thought, you know, someday it's going to be where you can do this thing at home. Let's just wait. So, and then, you know, 15 years later, you can do it on a computer. So we get him the whole setup. And he actually edited the movie and then we finished the movie and it just stopped working. And so we basically sold off all the parts of it that had to do with movie making and he just had the computer. And that was the last time we attempted that. That was quite a few years ago.
Yeah. That's too bad. I hate it when that happens. High tech.
Yeah.
can't always count on it. So.
But W I with S I with singing. No. S. You. Such. No such problems. He's talking about you now.
Oh, okay. In terms of, yeah, just. Well, yes, because then the mic dies, and the next thing you know, then the amplifier blew out. They got a new amp, and then the speakers went, and then the, you know, see, it is one thing after another. So sometimes, yeah, sometimes there's, like, equipment, but, like, my drummer in Tucson just fixed my headset mic, so that's a good thing, because I can get back to using that, because when you're in the band, you know, when you have a lot of people, then you can interact with your guitar player and your drummer and the bit, you know, I mean, you can move around on the stage and into the audience a little, and I like having a wireless headset, so it's fun, so, but keeping everything running and fixed, and the vehicles and the RV, you know, all that stuff, it's got its own set of challenges that way.
We always want, think, we should do get a F, no, R, oh, an RV. We fantasized about that quite a bit, having an RV and being able to travel around and perform. Not having to deal with hotels and things like that.
Oh, it's wonderful. Actually, and dollar for dollar, it is cheaper to go by RV in terms of, how you say, if you figure food and hotel and wear and tear on yourself, in and out, whole, lugging all the gear in and out, whatever, an RV can be a way to go. It's cheaper. And you can have, I don't know about you, but I don't like to eat out very much. Well, I love to eat out. I love it when someone cooks. But generally in the West, in the country, other than the coastal or larger cities, it's hard to find the kind of food I'd prefer to eat. They don't have Trader Joe's everywhere, so.
E, exactly. Especially in, on, T, O, U, on tour. If you... You don't have time to find the good restaurants.
Oh, exactly. Well, and usually you don't make enough money to afford a restaurant anyway, so you kind of, it's better if you can shop. And I have to figure out the money part of this whole traveling business, because
we have D, O, done it for how many years we've been touring? I think we started in the 80s somewhere, mid-80s.
Wow.
And we still... have not figured it out.
Oh no, that's not good news. So how do you travel? You have a van or?
Well, it's evolved. When we first started, we were quite a bit younger, and so we took the train a lot, so we'd go across the country and perform along the way by train. But
did you book your tours through people you knew, or was there a network of things that you connected with?
It was it would be people we would meet or find out about. It was always like personal kind of stuff. Yeah.
I just realized I'm interviewing you. I made myself laugh when I thought of it. Wait a minute, whose show is it? No, I'm fascinated.
Your Oh, it's your show. You said, whose show is this?
He said, your show.
He said, your show.
No, it's your show. No, it is.
But, and now, well, the last time we went to New York, we realized it was just getting too hard for us to get Frank in and out of a plane. The seats were getting smaller and smaller.
Oh, no.
And one time they upgraded us to first class. You know, something happened, I don't remember what, but we realized this, we could do this, but who can afford first class?
Because
the seats were bigger and it was just easier on us. But we, at some point, decided we just really can't do the plane thing anymore. It's too hard. And so that means we pretty much just do L.A. and here. Uh-huh. That's like the touring.
I don't like doing the planes anyway. I don't like how planes make me feel and the cattle call. I suppose if it was a private jet, you know.
Right.
One could become accustomed. That's why I like the RV. I'm sad that it's broken now. I have a van, so I drove up here in that from Tucson. But, you know, sleeping in the back of a van with no heat and, you know, toothbrushing bath, you know, all those things, you know. I'm going to be 50 in January, so I'm getting a little tired of this, the less than thing. But
that we get... We can. N. O. Now. O. Only. S. What?
Fancy.
Oh, right. So now we can only stay at these high-end hotels because Frank needs a hospital bed because that's what he sleeps at home. Where you know the it's adjustable.
Right.
So you can rent a hospital bed generally wherever you go.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. But what we discovered when we started doing this is like the cheaper hotels aren't going to bother.
They don't have it even available.
So because they have to like move furniture and be willing to be there to let the be responsible for that, and they just aren't going to bother. So we had to keep calling more and more expensive hotels till we finally found the level where it's like, oh yes, ma'am, what do you need?
Marriott,
you
know? And the Hilton, yeah.
So that's the kind of hotels we have to stay in. Right. Now. So it's pretty expensive when we travel, but it's really
but it's nice too. It's nice. I've stayed in the nice places, and yeah, it's good. You can get RVs, and you can get it fitted out with the kind of bed you need. I've seen them where they have the wheelchair. The lifting in there, they just cut a dealio out and they, you know, make it so you got a ramp that comes down and they're pretty fancy. It's pretty cool. It's a great way to go. It's comfortable, a little challenging to drive, challenging to park. Backing up is always a problem for me. Squish.
And then when you get someplace, you have to go to an RV park. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, if you can. Otherwise, you stay out in the woods. There's places in this country where you can still stay for free. Don't tell anybody, because if they find out you know about it, then they won't be able to do it. But there's places, I remember outside of halfway between, actually closer to Cortez, Durango and Cortez on the highway. I can't remember the name of it. I just saw this little brown sign with the yellow writing on it, Forest Access, with a little tiny, you know, you just drive and drive and you go up the hill, and then here's this spot, free camping. As long as you're not, I think it's within a mile or two of the, not another campground, you can stay for free in the woods. But you can only stay 12 days, 14 days, which is great if you're only staying a day or two or whatever. You can find it, but it's few and far between. I haven't found anything around here, around Tucson. I think if you get about 50 miles out, you probably could. But any highly populated area has campgrounds, and then the free camping is out. Flagstaff has some places where you can go stay free. So I like it because then you're out, and you're off the grid. You're off the noise, and the stars are. I like that. I'm grateful to whoever set aside the public lands. Every time I go on public land, I'm like, thank you for having the foresight to realize that people would develop every inch of this country if someone didn't set it aside. So I'm very grateful for that.
In, they, R T R trying to G no trying to
Tender wrote all that too. Yes, I know. Yeah, they're trying to take it away, and even the BLM, even the BLM. I mean, you know, even the in the state, the I don't know. Do you get all those lists from online about, you know, sign up, sign this and sign that, where they're trying to drill or mine or destroy the forests and the public lands in some way or another. Yeah.
Why? How? Do? How do you? B? O? O? Book? Your shows?
I just call people. Call and call and call. To get a $75 gig, you have to call. To get a $35 gig, you have to call 20 times. get a free gig, you call 30 times. No, I don't know what the formula is, but it seems like, yeah, you make many, many calls. And even if you're already in on something, you have to call just because you play phone tag with people. So I just call around and I go on the internet and find places. I look at other people's tour schedules and listen to their website, see what their music is like, and see if mine is of a similar thing, or if I think I'm good enough to play that venue yet, all that kind of thing. So I just kind of make it up. Actually, I'm looking for a booking agent at this point, because I'm not very good at figuring out the booking part of life. And so hopefully somebody will come along soon that will say, oh, I love what you do. Here, I have this job for you and this job for you. Just go there and be there. I'll be like, yeah.
Five. D. O. Dollars. O. You. Out. Of. Three, five, $35. Oh, is that what they do? They take $5 out of every $35? Oh,
it's usually 15 to 20%, something 25, from what I've heard. I don't know. I've never had a booking agent per se. They take a percentage. I'm happy if they do, because generally then the onus is on them to bring more money. If they want to get money, then you get more. So apparently the difference between my little $35 gigs, or in like today's case, zero for 2 hours work this afternoon, and a zero gig, you know, what? Oh, I got a coffee. I had a coffee. That's worth $3.50, or maybe four these days. But the difference between getting a small amount or zero and getting like 150 to 300 is apparently, it's a quick jump when you find somebody, you know, if somebody else calls on behalf of you, it's different than calling for yourself. Like when I've done sales for other things, I'm good at that. But selling yourself, it's like blowing your own horn or something. So.
Yeah. My. We. N. Are not good with booking stuff. We never have been. We've never really. I mean, it's things fall in our lap. That's That's when we would do things.
Just allow for things to come through. Yeah.
And we're good at seizing opportunities, but we don't. Like we're not. We don't do that where we're kind of calling around and trying to get gigs. We've never really gotten into that.
It's a little time consuming, and I don't particularly like spending my days doing that. I should do it more, and then I would have more performance. Like, I have, you know, this thing you guys contacted me through, Erica. It's a Grind. I had done It's a Grind Coffee House in August, and Julia called me asking when I was coming back, which is nice. I mean, when someone calls you and says, we liked what you did, come back. I'm like, yeah. And then I think I'm doing Tuesday, I'm supposed to do the
featured performer at the open mic night at Starry Plow, but I haven't heard back from them, so I don't know if that gig's happening. And then I have a couple care homes. I think I'm doing, yeah, sometime soon. And I don't know, if I don't look at my calendar, I don't remember. But I like booked, I think, one care home for December and three for January just before I leave. And I really should have been on the phone and had things all through December, you know, so I could have gas money back to Tucson. And I didn't do it. So now I have to go paint or clean houses or something to get the cash, you know.
Do you need?
Oh, she's coming. She's booked. She did call me.
No, I called. I called the easy people.
I think you're coming twice.
Yeah, I think I'm coming December and then in January. I call anybody who's easy to talk to, I will call. You know, like, you're easy. It's like, oh, cool, because I cold called when I found you, and then you were nice, and so I was like, oh, I'll call her again. But I call and call and call, and I leave messages all the time, and people don't call you back. And it's like, how many cell phone minutes do you want to waste, and do you really want to play there if you can't get through?
Right.
You know, it's...
Yep.
So when are you going to L.A. soon again?
We just went.
Did you?
Recently? In September.
Uh-huh.
It costs us like, you know, $2,000-$3,000 every time we go to L.A.
Oh, wow.
For like 4 days, five days.
Flying or driving?
Driving.
Driving staying,
and
these hotels
are pricey.
Because you got to do the expensive ones.
And then we eat out. And, of course, we only like organic food. And,
right, and finding,
you know,
the places.
So we save money, then we go. Mm. We never make any money at the performances.
Why?
That's just always been, you know, maybe you'll get $50, something like that. But if you're paying like $200 a night at a hotel, it's like, you know, it pays for the gas maybe or something like that.
Yeah. That's why the RV thing, although in L.A., I don't know where the heck you'd park one.
Yeah, right.
Oh, then the other thing in this country, there's no town where you can just pull it onto the street and park and sleep. They don't allow that. You can find it like in industrial sections around, but... in general, finding a place to park them, you have to pay, oh gosh, it can be anywhere from $25 to $75 a night just to park the RV. And it's like, God, when you can stay in a hotel for this much, you know, so it doesn't always pay to have an RV in terms of if you have to park in an RV park. So, but there's a thing, oh, I don't know if you guys just, no, your thing wouldn't work for that. There's a KOA campground, but those are kind of, they have a thing where they bring performers around to sing, and they give you a free night's lodging, you know, hookup for your thing. But they're pretty right wing.
Mm.
What do you call that?
P N O U our Y youth in our youth. We S-L we'd sleep on the floor of the space we were performing at.
Right.
We had those blow up mattresses.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Pumps, and we just sleep, bring our towels with us, you know, use the bathroom in the club.
Youth hostel style, right?
Right.
In the old days.
Yeah.
I used to sleep in a tent and you know, travel by car, and then I don't know, this beds and bathrooms and oh no, I'm just funny about refrigeration.
G I G U A garage. We stayed in Phoenix, I think it was. Somebody said, oh, no problem, we'll set you up in the garage here. Well, we get there and there was no heat in the garage. It was really cold. And they didn't even have hot water because they had a solar hot water heater. And they didn't tell us, but, like, it runs out the first time somebody takes a shower. And it was, like, a communal living situation.
No.
So, like,
oh,
we had been driving all day. and we were all dying for a shower. No hot water. We're laying in the garage like that.
Cement floor.
Oh, that no. was the beginning of our hotel thing, because we actually got up and went into the house and said, give us a phone book. And we found a hotel by the airport. Mm-hmm. We drove to the airport hotel, and that might have been the end of our floor sleeping.
The straw that broke the camel's back, right?
in P, Philadelphia. This was still in our youth, but the woman who booked us said she had a house that we could stay in, a big house. And F-A-N... Fancy. It was a fancy space. It was like a real high-end theater type space. And the only reason they booked us, it was like that personal thing, you know. Mm-hmm. We called some places and we connected with her and Franken. She had a correspondence for years before she could get the space to allow her to book him.
Okay.
The thing that allowed them to do it was when he got booked in New York at a place that had a name. Oh, yeah, now we'll book him.
Yeah.
So it was like New York and then Philadelphia.
Right.
And she said we could stay with her. And we got there, and she lived... I grew up in Philadelphia, so I know Philadelphia, but it was like the worst, absolute worst part of Philadelphia.
Aww.
And B-O was like a bombed out. You know, that's what it seemed like.
Oh, Lord,
you know?
Yeah.
Which, you know, but that wasn't the bad part. The bad part was her state of mind. She was in, she was breaking up with her boyfriend, and she was in this really funky space where she was really depressed and just wanted to stay in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And she had us in, like, this front room that was all just kind of not developed in her house.
Oh, okay.
We were on the floor, and there were cockroaches everywhere.
Oh, my God.
And that was, you know, the cockroach thing.
Okay.
No. All right, everything, a bombed out part of Philadelphia, you know, a depressed person in bed, but the cockroaches crawling all over us, that was it.
None of them straw situations.
And then we said, I think we need to move into a hotel. This isn't going to work. She says, I'm doing so poorly, and if you leave, it's really going to tear me apart.
Oh, woe's me. Oh, no, and you're trying to be there and do...
And do a performance.
Not take care of her, for God's sake.
Yeah. That was probably one of the worst, one of our low performance stories.
Yeah. So when are you going to go out again on tour?
When we bit out of the red from the last trip. It's pretty much the way
up
it goes.
And do the next one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then I'm not out of the, ordinary in that.
No. But tomorrow we have a gig here in Berkeley. Frank is hosting a poetry event, maybe a possible series if this goes well.
Oh, nice.
And it's it's like a 15 minute walk from here, New Cafe. And this will be their first poetry event. So there's a couple featured readers and then an open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank will probably read during the open mic.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How do you do that?
Well, he printed out the poems of his that he once read, and then I usually read it, and he's mic'd. He has this mic on so he can do vocal stuff while I'm reading the poems.
Oh, neat. So you can augment what the words are.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Mm. Excellent. You remind me of, I hope this isn't rude to say, was it in that Star Wars movie?
Chewbacca.
Yeah. The sound is similar to the, and so the communication is there because, you know, Chewbacca could communicate. You know. That's awesome. It's like music almost.
Frank sings. He has a band. And that's what we do when we go to LA these days. It's playing clubs and do bands. It's his musicians are, he gathers the music. We always have to point out the sound. Frank always notices it. It's always a different band every time. So he'll invite musicians to play. There's no rehearsal or anything, and it's a jam for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank sings. And if we do jams here, he'll play the piano. Oh, but when we're on the road, he'll just sing. And then Erica and I sing. And the three of us do erotic dancing together nude while the music is playing. And it goes on for an hour.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah. G. R. Great. M. Great musicians. Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, musicians say that they like playing in Frank's band because there's a freedom. And so most of these musicians are, like, serious musicians, you know, okay, like, so high-end serious musicians.
They get an opportunity to improvise and...
not have pressure.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
S. L. So. Who. What. R. U. L. K. L. O. O. Looking. For. In. A. P. R. P. R. E. S. I.
President.
President. What are you looking for in a president?
You know, you could have warned me, like, what the general things were. I don't know. I haven't thought about it because I don't really think too much about those things. My spiritual belief encompasses sending light and love to everyone. And people have to act out what they have to act out. And I send them... thoughts of peace and balance. I was hoping for Hillary this time because I'd like a female in there. However, I think she's sold out a little more than I'm comfortable with. But then you have to look at the machine, and can you change the machine from within the machine? Probably not. So. I really don't look for much in a present at all. I have no expectation at this point. Oh, Lord. Is that too much to say?
H. E. Hence. Me.
Hence you, yes.
R. Will. Will you. Do. A. One. What will you do. Two. D. R. Two drops for our radio station. That's what do you call it? What's another word for drops? You know, like a station ID thing. It's where we would tape it, audio tape it.
Oh, okay.
Where you would, like, you say who you are, and then you're listening to
blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I can do that. I've done that before.
All right.
Yeah.
So
I used to do voiceover work in New York sometimes.
Okay, so Mikey's got the little recorder here. And so the first one is you're listening to the mix on Lover. And then whatever else you want to say, and say who you are.
Hello, this is Amber Gaia, and you're listening to The Mix on Lover Radio.
Very good. And then the other, you got that voice. And then
yeah, I've
the
done
other
the deal.
The other one, Frank has a show on Lover, and it's called Frank Spins Hot Wax. Frank Spins Hot Wax. So you're listening to Frank Spins Hot Wax.
You're listening to Frank Spins Hot Wax.
And who are you? Who are you?
Oh, let's say it again.
All right.
This is Amber Gaia, and you're listening to Frank Spin's Hot Wax.
That's great. Is that it? Yeah, so I guess that was us signing off. Is that us signing off?
Is that the end?
Yes, and your website is?
My website is ambergaia.com.
Easy.
Easy. And MySpace/AmberGaia. And my band, Gaia Sound, but there's nothing quite. It's getting together. So no Gaia Sound yet, but soon, soon.
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Good night.